Life's getting better. Hey, everybody. Thank goodness for a close weather weekend. How was your week? Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I know you're awake. I know you're out there and you're contemplating all kinds of things. Not everything is going to be about doom and gloom this hour of America Tonight. I promise I'm getting off the soapbox. Not just yet, but I will. We have our cheap movie review coming up in a couple of segments. There's some interesting movies out this time around. I think I kind of like The Raven. I might go see that. And then there's Safe and Pirate's Booty. So, what do you think Pirate's Booty is about? Get your mind out of the gutter. It's not what you think. Trust me. This week was a wild week in Washington for a couple of different reasons. One, because of the Supreme Court again, this time over the Arizona immigration law. What's interesting in handicapping how the court might go, it actually might be more favorable to Arizona than what the Supremes may rule for health care. Of course, it's all speculation, looking at the tells, talking to people, who were there to hear the arguments and see maybe some of the reactions. And one of the justices recused from that, Elena Kagan, because she was a solicitor general during the for the Obama administration. So she bounced out of this one, and it'll be the decision of the other eight Supreme Court justices, which probably comes down in June as the Supreme Court is wrapping up everything now. It's about decisions and the time to put those together and then get them out. And I think the two big ones come out to the toward the very end of the term, and then the Supremes go off on vacation, and that's it. And everybody looks for answers and shakes their heads, and either they're happy or they're furious over what the court decided, because this is the highest court in the land. That's it, baby. Appeal, 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 and appeal this. So after 2 years, in both cases, health care and the Arizona immigration law, now finally it's decision time. It's decision time. So the Supreme Court agreeing with the Arizona law, I'm going to say pretty good chance. I'm going to say that I feel pretty good that what's going to happen here is they're going to uphold this because of a couple of different things. One, you got other states throughout the country considering having some tough immigration laws, and they're following what's happening with the Supremes. Now, that's not the reason the Supreme Court, they don't care about that. It's not about that. But I think it's because of a couple of things, like what Justice Antonin Scalia said, if, in fact, somebody who does not belong in this country is in Arizona, Arizona has no power. What does sovereignty mean if it doesn't include the ability to defend your borders? And then this was key, too. I mean, even, and this would be on your liberal side, Justice Sotomayor said that the federal government's lawyer sucked. She didn't use those words, but she said that key parts of his arguments weren't selling very well. So I'm going to say that this is going to go in the favor of Arizona. And boy, that's going to change a lot of things for a lot of different states if, in fact, they do it. Because here's the thing. Paul Clement, the lawyer for Arizona, did a good job. He told the high court this is his moment to shine, right? After all the time of filing the briefs and finally getting to do the dance in front of the people wearing the robes, he said it pretty simply that the federal government has failed to control the problem and that the states have discretion to assist in enforcing immigration laws. So the Solicitor General fell down on his end of the argument, saying that immigration matters are under the federal government's exclusive authority and state interference would only make matters worse. Not much of an argument. And talk about what could happen here. You have, ready for this? Because I know you're listening to me in all parts of the country, great parts of this country, this great nation, right? Yeah, Georgia, Alabama, Utah, Indiana, South Carolina. So this is a big one. because it's all similar laws are all, and the places I just mentioned are all in lower courts in those areas. And Arizona is the nation's most traveled area for illegal immigration and smuggling. So what happens if the justices let the states make immigration policy? What do you say, America? You say thumbs up, this is the way to go, every state's different, and you got to do something when you have a problem that is crippling you financially, the state, and it's affecting the neighborhoods, and it's affecting what's happening with healthcare because of so many of the people who don't have health insurance that are in the emergency rooms and whatnot. You have the hospitals going broke. So that is reflected on all of your premiums already. One third of the states mandate that employers enroll in the Federal Employment Verification Program. This is a hot button, E-Verify. 7 states require it, but of all of them, but the smallest employers. 5 have policy or have policing laws similar to Arizona's SB 1070, which is what was happening in the Supreme Court. That's what they're looking at, that allow local police to ask about immigration status of people they stop for other reasons who they suspect are in the country illegally. So this is a real interesting tug of war over turf, over the feds and the big government beating its chest and the states and states' rights. If we even go beyond the issue of immigration, of illegal immigration, and we look at it from that perspective, that's the heart of this case, that a decision will be handed down in 2 months. I mean, you got to get control of illegal immigration in this country, even if there is a reverse migration, great, but that doesn't mean that everybody's left, all the problems have gone away, they've sailed away. The states are stuck with the cost of it. They're stuck with the cost of incarcerating people who have been arrested, the hospitalization, I already talked about that, education. And it, I mean, this is the worst game going. It's the worst. And this should have been handled a long time ago. Didn't. Now the state has got to figure a way out. These states have to do that. That's why Arizona tried to get help from the feds. Didn't get it. So that's how it ended up that way. And I'll tell you, illegal immigration, it'll come up on the radar during this race for the White House, whether Obama stays in or Romney steps in. It'll definitely be out there marinating, but still nobody ever really grabs onto it because they don't want to get caught in the web of, there's some of the Hispanic vote that I'm going to lose if I don't jump on board with some kind of amnesty program. And it's so untrue because there are plenty of great Hispanic people that, or Latino, if that's what a particular group wants to be called, who came here, killed themselves to get here legally, and don't think it's right what's happening along the border. Don't like what's happening. All right, I know it's a new number, and I am going to pound this number into all of your heads. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. We're turning the record over, and we'll meet you on the B-side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. April 26th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $16.50.90. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $16.92.08, $8.46.04 for a half ounce, or $4.23.02 for a quarter ounce. That's $16.92.08, $8.46.04, and $4.23.02.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explain this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
BePrepared.com is making deals in April because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. What's on sale? Now through Monday, save 28% on a freeze-dried garden vegetable combo, which includes peas, corn, beans, cauliflower, celery, and onions. Save 33% on the Katadyn Hiker Micro Filter, new instant white rice as low as $8.49, and a 72-hour MRE food and water supply, a $72 value for only $49.99, and much more at BePrepared.com. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. Hurry, the BePrepared.com April sale ends next Monday. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Football fan. He's the GM for the New Orleans Saints. He's in a lot of hot water. So already suspended for 8 games because of the bounty program that was going on in the Saints franchise. Sean Payton gone for the season. The coach of the New Orleans Saints. And we're gonna let you hear from him too. But what's interesting is Loomis really is saying over and over again, can you imagine what a great advantage? It's like when I used to do a segment called Fly on the Wall. If you could just hear the information that you needed to know ahead of time, how you could easily get that promotion, and I don't care what company you work for, it would work, right? So in the case of the Saints, Loomis had the opposing coaches boxes wired so you could hear them. You could hear what they were saying. And he says they never used it. He said that that wasn't what happened. But we'll see if they can prove that Loomis was using it or wasn't using it. The FBI is involved and they're looking into it. But I don't know if they're going to be able to nail him for that. But they certainly nailed him for the bounty program. And here's what Mickey Loomis had to say about the bounty program. And also Sean Payton, the head coach of the Saints, who's done for, like I said, a season. He talked about what he was going to do now and the whole thing that that happened with New Orleans.
Regarding the bounty penalties, I thought Coach Vitt perfectly stated where we're at regarding this issue. The commissioner has spoken, and we respect his decision. The penalties for us have been determined, and it's our job to move forward. I want to thank Sean Payton, who I believe is the best coach in the NFL and who has the most difficult job of any of us. He is missed, and we anxiously await his return 8 months from now.
There's the professional side of the penalty that's difficult, but from a personal standpoint, friendships that you have with, you know, with your coworkers and your players, and I think that's a bigger adjustment than the professional penalty. I look forward to, you know, cutting the oranges, hauling the Gatorade, and watching my son play every game, and being a part of, you know, calling plays for his offense, and doing some things like that really, you know, get me excited, and I know get him excited.
There are going to be these moments like the draft or the start of the football season, the playoffs. There are certain points that will be, I think, difficult to deal with, but it's an opportunity for me to do a lot of other things that...
Tell you what, he sounded like he's at a Great Gatsby party, a throwback party there. Did you hear that flappery music in the background? So it sounds like he's not doing too bad. Yeah, it's okay. There's a lot of opportunities. I'm going to do things up with my son instead. Hey, they're getting the penalty. They're in the penalty box for now. Then they're going to come out next year, and the Saints are probably going to have a really cruddy season. I don't even expect them to go to the playoffs. But who knows? And who knows if other programs, other NFL teams, franchises, if you will, is a better way to say it, if they weren't trying to do something similar, is this just it's just the lone team? I find that hard to believe. There might have been other shenanigans going on, too. But, you know, a cheat is a cheat is a cheat. Is that the way you want to win? Taking a little extra edge is one thing, but taking a yardstick full of an advantage is ridiculous, and that's what they were doing. I think that's what they were doing with their players, and especially if it turns out that Loomis was really listening to the plays. I mean, that's like handing the guy the playbook. Here's all our plays. I think you pretty much know what we're going to do to you on the field, and then you could just totally design things around that, even on the fly. That would be pretty easy to do it. John McCain, as we bounce back to politics, went on a little bit of a thing today to talk about the violence against women that flew through the Senate, by the way. As we know, legislation as a whole, when you hear what it's about, it sounds like, oh, well, of course, that should pass and that should be an easy thing. But a lot of times the problem is it's laden with a whole bunch of other things, a whole bunch of other amendments and craziness that make it impossible to sail through. Anyway, here was McCain talking about violence against women.
To suggest that one group of us or one party speaks for all women, or that one group has an agenda to harm women and another to help them, is ridiculous.
I hope it's ridiculous. I mean, really, I hope it's ridiculous. All right, speaking of ridiculous, because we don't have to worry about illegal immigration on the federal level, right, because that's a hot potato, toss that aside, or the economy, or what's happening with the premiums for a lot of people and whether or not they're going to go away. Instead, the administration is focusing on a national ban of cell phones while driving. The U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood is calling for a federal law to shut down cell phones or texting while driving any car on any road in the country, because they say this is the only way to deal with a national epidemic. It's the only way to do it. And he says it's important for the police to have the opportunity to write tickets when people are thinking they can drive safely and use a cell phone, text, or drive. So the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration pumps out a bunch of statistics, and here are those stats. They say that 3,000 fatal accidents, traffic accidents, nationwide last year were the result of distracted driving. Using a cell phone while driving delays reaction time, they say, the same amount as having a blood alcohol concentration of 0.08, the legal limit. And, you know, here's the deal. This goes back to the same thing again. How much government do you want in your face? I think it is crazy what people do in cars. I can't even believe it. I could know more text than in a car than I could, do any other thing, like put on makeup and read the paper. And I've seen people do that, and it's just that is crazy, and it drives me insane because you can just pull into wherever you're going and do that. Let's be real about it, especially the texting. But hands-free, cell phone, now there's so many contraptions. I don't know that you have to have a ban like that, because anybody in any car is going to be distracted to some extent. And I get the texting thing, absolutely. But the hands-free, I think people can do the hands-free deal. Now, 38 states, just so you know, have laws that do restrict or even flat out say no way, outlaw the use of any kind of devices while you're driving, because we just assume it's a phone, but it could be something else. I think it's got to be pretty hard to write these tickets for the cell phone use, because you have to really see it, and a lot of times that would be pretty hard to see. And I would want to know how many people actually got nabbed for that. How many people got nabbed for texting, doing the cell phone thing, you know, or whatever. Because there's other things, the eating, the radio thing can be distracting for some people. I know somebody that had an accident when they were trying to put cream in a coffee, which she slammed into a telephone pole. Luckily, no one else was hurt. She really wasn't hurt too badly, but that was just for fixing the coffee instead of pulling over to the side. And she would fully admit, duh, why did I do that? But, that is distracted, no doubt about it. And there are so many things that you can do where you just click on the wheel and you've got the Bluetooth and you can talk that way. And I think that's easy. And I don't see why they can't have that, because I think that's pretty safe. That's like having a conversation with somebody in the car, I guess, unless somebody gets you hot about something. But that you could say that could happen with a passenger, too. So come on. Coming up on the flip side, we're taking you to the movies here on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you have the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Right now, the average family spends one-fourth of their income on food. It's time to cut your food budget in half by using the best, most affordable food on the planet from eFoods Direct. The savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. Serve these delicious meals to your family tonight for a quick and easy dinner for about $1.25 a serving, compared to over $3 a serving for any other food. This food is compact, making it easy to store some away, and will be just as delicious in 25 years as the ones you cook tonight. Is it affordable? Absolutely. The new Alex Jones Family Pack saves you up to 50% compared to other food storage companies. See the comparison at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. My friends, as crazy as this world is today, you'd be nuts to not get a storable food supply. Give eFoods Direct a call and order one of the Alex Jones Family Packs and test it out today. Start your journey of food independence today at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633.
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right.
All
right,
as promised,
you know you got a right.
You get to hear a little bit of what's happening at the movies. In other words, some of the trailers give you the gist, I think, of what you can expect if you plop down the dough and decide to go and partake in any of these movies, including one that I think would be interesting because as a kid, I remember reading Edgar Allan Poe, and I liked scary stuff, and I thought some of his offerings were pretty darn good. So this movie is called The Raven.
Dear God.
Get the inspector.
This crime is familiar to me.
Edgar Allan Poe.
What may I attribute the honor of your call?
The night before last, a young girl and her mother were found murdered. The daughter's body was lodged in a chimney. The mother's head severed with a straight razor.
You're referring to one of my stories, a work of fiction.
I'm afraid I am not.
Do you actually think that I've heard of these people?
For 10 cannot be disputed. Your imagination is the inspiration of a horrendous crime.
I love you, Edgar. Be careful.
I believe the killer's taunting us.
Challenge the brilliant detective mind of Edgar Allan Poe, a game of wit. I will kill again, and on that new corpse, I will leave clues.
As unfortunate as this is, you may be uniquely qualified to cast light on our killer. The Pit and the Pendulum. Are there other stories in the collection? Specifically about murder.
I'm afraid so.
His killer is methodical. He wants us to know he's going to strike again.
Stop! I dare you to try to save your beloved's life.
Where is she?
He will keep her alive to keep you involved. It's part of his game. And only. I would gladly give my life for hers. I know you would.
I'll send you to hell!
No matter how this ends, I will kill him.
All right, so I think you get the gist of it. I don't even need to go through some of what I would normally go through with the movie because that trailer was so darn good. I think that some of the acting in it is should be pretty good. John Cusack, main character. He's always good in any of his stuff. I've liked him from day one. There's probably like three or four movies that I have on my old DVD collection that I could pull out of his. And for that reason alone, I'm going to give it even higher marks because I think it's worth checking him out for sure. And the Raven has some legs. If you don't see it in the theater, because it might be better on the big screen, certainly remember this. Put this in the back of your mind as a rental. Let's move on to our next one. And the next one is called Safe.
In the New York City underworld, there are gangsters, killers, and corrupt cops. But today, the most wanted person in the city is a 12-year-old girl.
Tell me why those men are after you.
I can memorize anything. They showed me a very long number.
Is there anything interesting to you about these numbers?
It's not just random. There's a sequence.
It's a code. Help me
if you... Who took the girl?
It was Luke Wright.
What?
Luke Wright, the Big Apple's hardest cop, once upon a time.
Get everybody on this. The Chinese and the Russians.
Close every exit out of Manhattan.
That girl does not leave the city.
Let's go to war.
Are we safe?
Till my dying day.
I got the numbers. Now you're dealing with me.
Hold on.
Are you crazy?
Take him out!
You got some balls, Luke.
Yeah, amazing, I can even walk.
Safe.
Я никогда не знаю, что говорит в такие моменты.
Какие моменты?
Перед тем, как я кого-то...
All right, Safe has Jason Statham in it, and remember, he was in The Mechanic. I loved him in The Mechanic. It's 1 hour, 35 minutes, so it's perfect because it's not going to kill you in the theater. Chris Sarandon's also in it. He's awesome. It's about a cage fighter who's on this mixed martial arts circuit, and he leaves his routine life for this, and then he blows a rigged fight and breaks open the dam. You heard a little bit of it. So far we have Edgar Allan Poe, who hooks up with a Baltimore detective to hunt down a crazy serial killer who's using his work as the basis for all these murders. Then you have this cage fighting thing and a blown setup fight. We move from that to the softest offerings I could come up with, and it's called Pirate's Booty.
Hoist the flag! Let's fill his chest with sparkling booty. Yeah!
He's not the greatest pirate captain.
I'm here for your gold.
Gold? This is a ghost ship.
And they're not the finest crew. But this is their big chance.
Pirate of the Year awards.
Every time I've entered, I fail to win. So I must have a really good chance this time.
To turn it all around.
Sorry. You're a shoo-in, sir.
That's not a pirate. And the seven seas can match you.
That trophy's got my name on it.
She doesn't even have a beard.
Ah! You want to be pirate of the year? Do they just give it to the guy with the fattest parrot?
She is not fat. She's just big bone.
She's fat, dude.
Oh, God, come on.
This spring.
I hate pirates.
What pirates? Nobody here but us Girl Scouts.
I want them sunk!
No! Enough in the face of danger.
I don't really like danger at all.
Join the crew.
Fire those things that go bang!
Abandon ship!
And kick some booty.
I can practically taste that trophy.
You can't lose, Captain.
The Pirates, Band of Misfits.
You are the best crew a captain can wish for. I'm using crew in the street sense. You.
All right, so that's the one that you take the kids to without a doubt, and it's the usual fare of animation, and this one actually looks pretty good. I forget what movie I was at, but I saw it a couple of times. They pumped it in, and I thought, yeah, this one's pretty good, and you could recognize some of the voices in it, and the theme is obviously pretty good with the whole pirates and whatnot. So I would say, good for kids. If you have kids, grandkids, whatever, this would be a good choice. And the movie's not ridiculously long. It's just under 2 hours. One I didn't mention was, or that we're not going to hear a preview of anyway, but it's called The 5-Year Engagement. And this is the typical chick flick. There's always a chick flick every single week. I would love to see the statistics on it. I don't even know if I could find them. But because it's just formula. And it's easy money for Hollywood. So the chick flick movie, and it's 2 hours and 4 minutes long, right? The running time. It's the 5-year engagement. And it looks at what happens when this engaged couple keeps getting caught up in trying to figure out a way to get down the aisle. Something always gets in the way. There are two well-known actors in it. Jason Segel, you've seen him in a bunch of stuff. And Emily Blunt is in it, too. She's from The Devil Wears Prada and a whole bunch of other things. So the names are recognizable, and this is one that could do well because there's always going to be an audience for that. Even if it's a small to medium audience, they're going to be able to find enough people that will go out and see that. That's why I skipped it, because I like The Raven. I thought for kids, The Pirates. And I love Jason Statham, so I had to go with safe. If you go to the movies, remember, you can always sneak in some cheap candy. Just go get it at the drugstore. Stay with us.
If you're not prepared, get PreparedExpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Climate change. Water filtration. Wholesale batteries. Freeze-dried foods. MacGyver 101. Storm shelters. Shortwave and ham radios. Solar power. Buy your first farm. Heating with wood. Home defense. Ammo. Homeschool your children. And teleseminars with James Wesley Rawls, Bob Chapman, and Julia Shopik. Get Prepared Expo. Expo.com, Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Meet your USAPrepares.com instructors. Vincent Finelli, John Moore, Matt Stein, Larry Pratt, Dr. Julie Pinnick, Beth Ann, David Christopher, Julia Shopik, Robert Allen, and over 30 more. GetPreparedExpo.com. Download program flyers and $8 discount coupons at GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. Well, we've been talking about this a lot, the voter ID law in Texas and some other states. And, of course, the Attorney General Eric Holder with the decision to block the implementation of that Texas new voter ID law. And we are very pleased to welcome to the show from the National Center for Public Policy Research Adjunct Fellow Horace Cooper joins us now. He just released a paper talking all about this and the Attorney General and why the Attorney General was wrong to block the voter ID law. Horace, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Thanks for having me on your program. I have to tell you, it's a pretty important an issue. A lot of people haven't been paying attention. It's sort of a sleeper issue. But this voter integrity issue is probably going to be one of the biggest issues that we're going to have to deal with as a nation. And we do it state by state. But it's fundamentally going to answer the question, are we going to have a system of self-government where legitimate, lawful citizens of the United States decide who our representatives are and what our policies are going to be, or will we let ghost voters, fake ballots, convicts, and illegal immigrants come in, dilute, steal, and divert our policies and determine who our representatives are going to be?
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly in talking about that. And, you know, some people will say, oh, well, that, you know, it's discrimination, the whole ID thing, and why should you have to have an ID? And it's ridiculous. I think it's just a ridiculous argument that doesn't have much merit, and there's not a lot backing that. You just gave us some of the reasons why. The ghost voters, looking at the rolls and seeing that you've got criminals on the rolls and all this other sort of stuff. I mean, doesn't it make sense to have that ID?
Well, exactly. You know, and the state of Virginia, the Richmond Times-Dispatch just ran a story shortly after the state legislature voted on a voter ID rule showing an astonishing number, nearly 800 different instances of election violations, and one of the biggest involved a group recruiting newly released convicts, people who were just let go from prison, and they signed them up, the goal being to have them register in strategic districts so that they can influence the vote. This is not an accident. This was intentional. In the state of Colorado, there were 5,000 people identified who were illegal immigrants and who were told that if they simply came and registered and participated in the vote, that they would either be given an opportunity for a job or some other kind of compensation. We are seeing instance after instance after instance where people are manipulating the election process. So rather than you and your listeners, who are lawful citizens, getting to decide who our representatives are going to be, others who don't have that right are deciding it for us.
Yeah, so I so much agree with that. And you talk about Eric Holder and the Justice Department, and in your paper you talk about this. You say they're pushing a political agenda that promotes, and you mentioned this, lawlessness and racial division. Talk about that a little bit, pushing the racial division.
Well, this is one of the reasons that I was so troubled about, and I had to prepare this document. The state of Texas passed a law similar to the one that Virginia has just passed, and the state of Texas was told by the Department of Justice that they would not be allowed to enforce this requirement and that it was somehow discriminatory against people who have a Spanish surname. The issue is, and many of your listeners may know this, I can just tell you one name, George Zimmerman. We cannot tell whether someone is Anglo, whether they are Latino, Asian, Black, whatever they may be, by their name. The courts don't use this. Census doesn't use this technique. The Department of Justice officially insisted that the state of Texas collate all so-called Spanish-sounding surnames and then said how many of those people have a driver's license, and that was the basis of their decision in saying there was a 2% difference between people with a Spanish-sounding surname and people without in terms of their percentage of holding ID. This was not done on the merits. This is the kind of statistical shenanigans that allow them to push a political agenda. And it is a political agenda that is more interested in a partisan outcome than it is in fidelity to the law. And that kind of partisanship and that kind of willingness to kick the law to the curb divides us, and it divides us in many instances along racial lines. They often try to pretend that rules that apply to all of us are somehow targeting Blacks, are targeting Latinos, are targeting women, when in fact none of that is true, and yet just the opposite is the case, that the laws apply to all of us. It's extremely important that every eligible citizen's vote actually count, and systems that allow ghost voters, convicts, people that fake ballots and use those to manipulate votes instead, those are undermining our fundamental right of self-government.
Do you think, Horace, that this also dissuades people from voting and we have low voter turnout because people say, oh, it's rigged anyway. Are you reading? Are you seeing what's happening? And they just get discouraged and feel like the elections are anything but wide open.
Well, They're not actually being cynical when they think of that, because they're increasingly there are areas where this is happening.
Yeah.
Where your vote actually isn't getting to be the decider, and you're right. We ought to be vested in, or invested in the outcome, and we ought to care, but it sends the wrong signal. You know, if you were watching what was going on in the presidential elections in Russia just last month, they had a record turnout, but it didn't matter. The election was preordained. We cannot run the risk that our elections for governor, for senator, even for president are not going to be decided by citizens, but instead by unlawful manipulation of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think happens with now with Texas appealing the decision to that three-judge panel in D.C.?
Well, this is the part that I also wanted to emphasize about the paper. They are wrong on the law. In fact, they're not allowed to use the kind of statistical analysis that they brought forward. And secondly, the Supreme Court, in a case called Indiana v. Crawford, 4 years ago, already answered this question, are you allowed constitutionally to require ID? And they said, yes, you are. So for the Department of Justice to pretend that they don't remember that case came down is tantamount to them saying this. You are going to ultimately be able to make us comply with the law. We're the Justice Department. We're going to ultimately have to, but we're going to delay it as long as we can. That is not supposed to be the role of the Department of Justice. They know what the law is. They should be adhering to the law. They should not be manipulating the law. They should not be delaying enforcement of the law. And I predict that this is either going to go to the Fifth Circuit of Appeals and be overturned, and Texas will be allowed, or it will have to go to the Supreme Court, and it will be an even broader. It won't be a 5-4 decision. I predict this will be a 6-3 or 7-2 decision saying justice should never have held this back. The Supreme Court has already spoken on this, and most of the lower courts have already spoken about the shoddy statistical analysis that they tried to employ in this case.
Yeah, I agree with you. But Horace, as you and I both know, with the time crunch that we're in, and depending on what happens, as you said, Fifth Circuit goes there, this can all be backlogged and doesn't go to the Supreme Court until after the election.
I think that's exactly what the Justice Department is betting on, that they won't get a ruling until after the election. That's lawlessness. That is dangerous. The Attorney General has taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, and these kinds of shenanigans and games are the exact opposite of that. This is very troubling when I see this kind of behavior.
Yeah, and you're right. And you know, you say right in the beginning of the paper, you know, titled, "Why is the Department of Justice blocking voter ID?" That's what you got to ask yourself. Comes down to that.
There is no. The court has already answered this question for them crystal clear. And there's another stat. In the 13 cases in the last year that have been prosecuted across the country, in the 13 separate instances involving tens of thousands of voter harvesting, there's been only one of them in which the person convicted was a Republican. That is also disturbing. The Attorney General is supposed to be the chief law enforcement officer, not the chief party officer, not the chief party promoter or fundraiser. And this kind of behavior makes Mr. Holder, I believe, unfit to hold that position.
I so agree. Horace Cooper, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.